is a Woodside Church podcast.
Good morning, guys. You're all right? I'm very excited about the series that's coming up now. We're going to look at Holy Spirit. We've named the series Holy Spirit, and we're going to look at the promise of the Holy Spirit today, and then the week after, we're going to be looking at fruit of the Holy Spirit, and the week after, it's going to be the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And finally, we're going to be looking at the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. This is the four-part series. We want to. The aim of the series is for each and every one of us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, continuously growing in Him and exercising the gifts of the Holy Spirit to edify, build one another, while we are cultivating the fruit of the Holy Spirit that is within us, and that people might know and see that we are disciples of Jesus as we continually have fellowship with Him, walking by the Holy Spirit. Yeah? I don't know what your expectations are here for you today. We're going to look at some verses and then go back into time of prayer and ministry. I just wanted to remind you that God knows your deepest thoughts. God knows my deepest thoughts. Even before we go into it, I just would like to ask you a question. Are you expectant? Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. God, the Holy Spirit, we worship you. We love you. We want to learn and know more about you and be filled with you. As we open the Word, come, Holy Spirit, bring it to life to us. Come, Lord. We need you. We cannot do without you. May thy will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Right. Many of us, as Christians, we would know God, the Holy Spirit. We know our Godhead is three in one person. And so three persons in one. And we have God the Father, we have God the Son, we have God the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is the one, I would say, is a lot taken for granted, a lot confused, a lot misrepresented in many ways nowadays, right? So we thought it's good for us to study from the Word of God to understand, to gain our knowledge about God the Holy Spirit, and to worship Him, to grow in Him, to love Him in fellowship with Him, right? So that is the thing we're going to be looking at today. I don't know what your understanding about God the Holy Spirit is. Many a times, my understanding comes from what I see in the world, right? You might have seen YouTube videos. You might have experienced yourself. You might have seen things happening in the church. You might have seen people come forward and talk in words which you don't understand. You might have people come over to you, praying for you, suddenly revealing something that you are going through or what is going to happen to you and things like that. You might have experienced all sort of things going on around us, right? And so all this will give us an understanding about who our God, the Holy Spirit, is, okay? Where can we go to get the right understanding about God, the Holy Spirit? The best place to go to is to Jesus. You see, in the Word of God, it is very clear it was Jesus who introduced us to the Father, God the Father, and it was Jesus who introduced us to God, the Holy Spirit. So it's so important that we go to Him. Why do I say that? Even John the Baptist directs us to Jesus. This is what he said in Luke chapter 3, verse 16, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, and the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He confesses, he's asking the people, now you need to go to Jesus, because Jesus is the one who's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit. If you put the next slide, this is what we understand. Jesus baptizes. In the Greek word for baptism is called baptizo, which is dip and dye. Basically, a garment or a strings of, a bundle is taken in, dipped completely, immersed completely in the dye, and it's soaked in it, and it's taken out. Now, the color completely changes for that garment and comes out in a different color. You see, immersed and fully drained in that dye. That's the word that is used, and that's the same thing Jesus is giving us. That's the same thing Jesus is doing for us. Jesus baptizes us with the Holy Spirit, being immersed in the Holy Spirit, dipped and dyed with the Holy Spirit. What happens? Jesus, through his ministry, he promises the Holy Spirit for us. Okay? This is what he said in John chapter 14, verses 15 and 17. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Further, as we read, it says, Jesus, because he wasn't glorified, he hasn't been to the cross yet, died and resurrected, and that's why he said he will be in you when you receive him. See, now, Jesus, the one who baptizes out the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, he gives us a great promise, not just that God the Holy Spirit will be with us, but he will be in us. He will be within us, inside of us. Wow. What an amazing promise. He doesn't just remain there. As we read John chapter 14, John chapter 16, we see what is the work of the Holy Spirit, which we will be coming and meditating more in the coming weeks. But he also promises another thing, which is recorded in Acts chapter 1, 4 to 5 and 8. In fact, he insisted. He was very particular. He commanded his disciples to do this. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. See, he commanded, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Now, Jesus baptizes us with the Holy Spirit, and he promises that the Holy Spirit is going to be in us forever. And then he says he is going to fill us with power. Yeah? He's going to fill us with power. Power for what? To be witnesses wherever we go and testify the name of, boldly share the gospel with people and make disciples wherever we go. And we know what happened then. The promise was fulfilled and received. The promise was fulfilled and received. Jesus is a promise keeper. Our God is so faithful to his word, and his promise was fulfilled and received. This is what we hear. The disciples of Jesus absolutely obeyed whatever he said. He commanded, so they obeyed. This is what happened. History recorded. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, there was about 120 disciples gathered together in one place, we read. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. Here, tongues means languages. They began to speak in other language as the Spirit enabled them. For the first time, the disciples of Jesus experienced the promise, what Jesus had given. And we see from then on, the life of the disciples changed drastically. We read that from then on, that their life completely changed. What happened? The disciples were equipped with power to be witnesses for wherever they went. We see that Peter, who was so afraid of men so far, he wouldn't even go out because he was so afraid that he might be called that he's one of the disciples of Jesus, he might be punished as well. So long. But now, having received the Holy Spirit, a complete transformation of his life happens. He boldly stands up in this crowd and shouts out, preaching to all the men, all the Jews who were gathered around there. Then what happened? The result speaks for themselves. Many believed in the word of God. They could hear, there were believers who heard the disciples talking in different languages, praising God. They knew that the disciples don't know that language. How can they speak so fluently like learned people, praising God? They're singing the praises of God. Happened. More than 3,000 men accepted Jesus that day. They repented. They say, forgive us. We understand now. And they believed in Jesus and they were added into the church. Peter went on to remind the people about the prophecy that was in Joel, that was given by the prophet Joel, where God said, I will pour out my spirit in those days on your sons and daughters. He says, today this promise has been fulfilled. All those who became disciples of Jesus by believing were filled with the Holy Spirit. You have so much record of that in the Bible. When you read, wherever they became disciples by believing in Jesus, they were immediately filled with the Holy Spirit. Millions of Christians throughout church history up until the present day have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. We are witnesses to it. Hallelujah. Yes, and God is continuing to fill us with this amazing promise even now in our church, in churches in Bedford, over across different denominations, across different nations, across different ethnicities, across different races of people. God is continuing to fill those who believe with the Holy Spirit. You might be seeing that I'm going quite quickly because I want to pitch somewhere. The important thing in all this we understand and we are really excited about is that the promise is also for you. It is not just for the disciples. It is not just for those who were in contact with Jesus while he was alive. No, it is for even you and me and all of us as a church. Explaining this promise and wanting us to understand more about Holy Spirit and his nature and his work and what happens within us, Jesus in John chapter 7, explains this really, really well. That's where we want to concentrate today, yeah? The reason why I rushed through all that thing was we know And we have heard a lot about God, the Holy Spirit. But this is very important for us to further learn more about him. On the last day of the feast, the great day, it was called the Festival of Booths, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now, this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Right? What is Jesus saying? Jesus says, come to me and drink. All those who are thirsty, come to me and drink. Then he says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. We need to look at this passage very carefully, right? What do you understand from this? What do you understand from this? There are some key words to look at this passage into. Why would Jesus go and say this to the people? What effect does that have on us today? Jesus says three things here, right? Thirst, come to me and drink. Thirst, come to me and drink. Okay? The question you need to ask yourself, and I need to ask myself, am I doing this? Do I thirst? Do I go to Jesus? Am I drinking from him? The promise he says out of his heart, this is what is mind-blowing for me. Okay, this is what is, I go in for a drink of water. Why? I'm thirsty. I would expect Jesus to satisfy me by giving a drink. Right? I would expect something to go within me. But what Jesus is saying, when you come to me and drink of me, it's going to go in first and it's going to go out. Right? Go out how? Somebody said it. Exactly. Imagine he's saying it's not going to, what goes in comes out. No, what he's saying is rivers of living water is going to flow out of each and every one of us. Imagine there's a river going this way. There's another river. There's another river. There's another river going out of me. I couldn't get my mind around it as I was reading. I said, Jesus, this is you promising me rivers. If you put the next picture up, do you see the picture? Rivers of living water flowing out. How many of us can put our hands up? I don't want you to put hand. Don't worry. And say, my life is like that. My life is like that. This is not something that we earn. This is not something that we achieve. This is not something that, we got to be qualified for something. But Jesus simply says, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink. And those who believe, this is the result in your life, in my life. Right? As much as we are excited and overjoyed, it makes us think. What Jesus is saying is, in another passage we see, when he talks about this living water, he says, if you come and drink of me, you will never thirst again. You will never thirst again. This happened with the Samaritan woman at the well. She's going to drain water, and Jesus says, can you give me a drink? And says, why should I give you a drink? And then Jesus said, if you knew who you were talking to, you will ask me for drinking water, and I would give you living water, and you will thirst no more. And the conversation goes on, and then Jesus reveals about the Holy Spirit. Yeah? I like the final verse in that passage. It says, she left her pot by the well. She came, she carried a pot to fill water so that she can quench her thirst. But at this moment, she left her pot. She ran into the village. I think I've seen the Messiah. I think I've seen the promised one. Could he be the one? Come. She was so overwhelmed and filled with joy and excitement and satisfaction that she left her pot. She totally forgot about her pot. And then she ran. She herself became the pot. She was filled. You see? And that's just a glimpse of what Jesus is going to do. But then when it says, when I will be glorified, this is what happened in the life of the disciples. Rivers of living waters began to flow out of them. We were discussing about this yesterday. It says, I was like, wow, Peter just walks into the temple and there's a guy who can't walk, right? And he cries out for alms. Give me some money. Help me. I'm poor. He says, I don't have silver and gold, but I have something. And he says, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he walked. Rivers of living water flowing out of him. What does God mean by this rivers of living water? In the Old Testament, he refers to the living water or the fountain of the living water to God himself. It is the presence of God coming and living within us through God the Holy Spirit. Yeah, the rivers of living water becomes the source of satisfaction. We don't thirst no more. The river of living water becomes the source of our life, where we get all the energy and all that we need for our life. The river of living water becomes the source of power. We've seen power to witness God everywhere, boldness. And also one thing that's not mentioned, the river of living water becomes a source of cleansing, which Ruth Byfield brought today. He cleanses us. Holy Spirit. The name itself says he is a holy God. He comes and clears our conscience with the living waters and makes us holy and gives us this desire for holiness and sanctifies us day by day. I also want to refer to why does Jesus refer to this living water to the people there, gathered there? Because they already know and heard about this living water. Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 13 says this. This is what God the Father explained, prophesied over the people, which we can relate to as well. For my people have done two evil things. They have abandoned me, the fountain of living water, and they have dug for themselves cracked cisterns that can hold no water at all. Okay, this is what the people have done. And we can relate to as well. There's another version which says they have forsaken me. Basically, forsaken me means turning away from God. And that is why Jesus is saying, come to me. Turn around, come to me. Because they have turned away from God. Rather than coming and drinking off from God or from Jesus, what they have done, they have dug for themselves cisterns. Cisterns can be small earthen pots made of, you know, stone, carved in stone or clay, or it could be an underground big massive hole to collect with a small opening on the top to collect rainwater so that they can live on it, right? They got their ideas, this is my source of life, this is my source of water. They dug out cisterns. Sadly, the cisterns are cracked. They don't hold any water. If we put the next picture, oh, it's already there. Good. It could be big as that. It could be as small as that. Do you see the cracks? Do you see the holes on this? Do you think the water is going to remain in there? God, God describes his people like this. They have forsaken me, and they have cisterns, which has got holes, which will not hold water. If you go to the next picture, which describes you more? Which, as of now, which describes us more? Which describes me more? Is it rivers of living waters flowing out of each and every one? Or, you see, the cracked cistern with holes which cannot hold water, which we ourselves have made, thinking that this is going to sustain us. We ourselves dug it out. We ourselves carved it out, thinking that this is going to help me. This is a great idea. This is going to be helpful for my survival. This is why Jesus said, I'm going to send you a helper. What you have done, what I have done, is cisterns with holes which cannot hold water. But Jesus says simply, knowing this, Jesus extends this amazing invitation. And he teaches his disciples how to do this. Luke chapter 11, 9 to 13. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Would you do that? No. Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What an assurance Jesus is giving us. When you earthly fathers, you earthly parents who are evil, know to give good gifts to your children, how much more the Heavenly Father will give you the Holy Spirit when you ask. So all that God, Jesus is saying here and teaching us is, if you go to the next one, ask and receive. Ask and receive. The Holy Spirit is a gift of grace. He's not earned. How did you receive? How did we receive our salvation? By believing in Jesus. It was a gift. Salvation is a gift. Did we do anything to earn that? No. Did we work out for it? No. It was a free gift from God. Same way, gift of the Holy Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit himself, God the Holy Spirit, coming and living in us and flowing out as rivers of living water is a gift of grace, right? You might have had this experience before. I know several of you can put your hand up and say, yes, I've had this experience before. The baptism of the Holy Spirit that we were talking about, Jesus baptized, how you dip and you die, right? But we also see in Ephesians, Paul teaches us that this is not just a one-off experience. In fact, he says, I'll read that verse from Ephesians chapter 5, Verses 15 on, so be, sorry, 16. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's teaching us a continuous action to be doing. Be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. Hallelujah. What have we got to do? Ask and receive drink. Three things Jesus said is be thirsty. Right? Come to me, going to Jesus, spending time with him, filling us with the word of God. Jesus says, I am the word. And then he says, drink of me. There is an action that we do. We receive it by drinking.
You have been listening to a Woodside Church podcast. For more information, visit woodsidechurch.com.